Our scripture today is from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible or with the words up on the screen. I wanted to grab a pew Bible here real quick and take a look at something briefly. When I study the scripture during the week, I don't always use the NIV, which I have written up here on the screen, and so sometimes the translations are differently. I'll look at that a little bit later. We'll get to that. For our purposes today, the NRSV, which you have in your pew, is the better translation, and I'll get to that in a moment. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your care, for your mercy, and indeed for your presence. We ask you that our hearts and our minds, our spirits are prepared for this moment, that your Holy Spirit falls upon us and helps us to be open to receive your word. We thank you for this show of grace that you've given to us in our life, and we pray for another show of grace. May it be upon the sermon, that it may be used for you and by you and to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19a. Hear now the word of God. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Bethel. We'll come back to that moment. Bethel means house of God. And Bet is the Hebrew word for house. El is the Hebrew word for God, house of God. But again, we'll come back to that moment. Now, this scripture that we're reading spawned a gospel song. And what song is that? We are climbing Jacob's ladder. And just saying that, you're going too fast for the song. The song is much, much slower than that. Because of its speed, sometimes it's not my favorite, but it is an extremely deep and powerful song in a lot of ways, especially when you hear about its his history. But the idea of Jacob's ladder came from this. Now, in the Hebrew, the word for what Jacob saw that day is not best as the ladder so much as it is a stairway. And I thought playing Stairway to Heaven today would be a lot of fun, but probably would take up too much of our time. So we're not going to do that either. But I do love this scripture for what's happening here. Jacob's running away from home, fleeing from his brother at the behest of his mother and his father. And he is going, without having much of anything, to visit his cousins, his uncle and cousins who live in Haran. And on his way, he's tired, and it's time for him to stop for the night. And he grabs a stone for a pillow, and he puts it underneath his head, and he lays down, and he has this dream. Now, the dream that he has is of, again, this stairway that which reaches from the heavens to the earth, or one could say from the earth to the heavens, depending on what direction the angels are going, and they're going up and down. Now, what I learned in seminary and what I've told you a few times has really helped me understand Scripture more and more when we talk about things like this, because it's so important to our understanding of this particular story. And that is, back in ancient times, the realm of the gods was up, and the realms of humanity were here. And in order to be in the realm of God, you went up in order to be in God's realm. In fact, one of the religions had a giant stairway, and they called it the Stairway to Heaven, to which the priest would walk it, and it would go up into this room, and they would be in their God's, or plural, God's presence in that moment, and have the council with their gods and that kind of thing. So this idea was all throughout the culture. Abraham was given the word that there is one God, but the idea of God's realm being here and humanity's realm being here was still maintained, except for an important detail. And this story helps to tell us what that important detail is. That when Jacob was dreaming and had this vision, had this encounter with God, he saw a stairway that went from heaven to earth. And the angels were ascending and descending. Now, the commentary that I read says that the angels were ascending and descending, meaning that they were going up, coming down, going up, coming down, in a perpetual treadmill kind of thing. You know, the one angel named Bill. Bill the angel would start in heaven. He would come down the stairway to earth, but he wouldn't get off. He would just go over and then go back up and then, you know, just do this perpetual thing. I disagree wholeheartedly with that commentary. I think what we're seeing here and what God wants to portray in this vision to Jacob is that the angels are taking messages from heaven, going down to earth, spreading out amongst all the nations and delivering those messages, doing those things, having activity with this realm. The story about God having activity in earth through the Old Testament, especially the New Testament, is well noted. God just didn't stay up in this realm, didn't stay up in heaven, but God had all kinds of, all manners of interaction with earth. And all those interactions were out of love and grace and charity and also accountability and punishment if necessary. But what we get to see is what Jacob saw is that God is active and working. Now, Jacob needed this message. This is Jacob's first encounter with God. In fact, this is Jacob's first use of God's name in his story thus far. He did use God's name before, but it was in the form of like a curse, a throw-off sort of thing that didn't even count. This is Jacob's first true encounter with God. Now, where's God in this encounter? If the angels are delivering the messages, are doing God's will, are ascending and descending and taking God's will into all the world from God's realm, where's God in this story? This is where the translation comes. NIV has a poor translation. Jacob had dreamed it. It's on the screen here. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. Now, according to the NIV, it says there above it, now it being what? The stairway. So where's God in this text? In heaven, shouting down to Jacob, who's lying on the ground sleeping. What they did is translate the word it When the other translations translates the word it to he. And what we have instead is, Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above him stood the Lord, and he said, Jacob's lying on the ground sleeping, having this vision, and God is above him. NRSV translated, standing next to him, beside him. And if God is above him, he's sleeping, so he would be standing. What this does is it changes it dramatically to a God who shouts at you from here to a God who talks to you from here. And we see that this isn't out of the realm of biblical truth. We have God all the time encountering people one-on-one like this, side-by-side like this, and of course we have Jesus Christ, who walks with us, talks with us, fellowships with us. God had all these messages and all these errands for all the angels. They're ascending and descending like busy little bees or ants going in and out of the ant hill, going about their job. And God said, I have this errand that needs done. And an angel came to God and said, I'll take care of it. And God says, no, I want to do this one. And so God climbs down the staircase, stands before Jacob, rustles him a little bit, and says, I got something to tell you. Again, remember, this is Jacob's first contact with God and Jacob's first acknowledgement of God. And God says this to Jacob. Jacob's life has been turned upside down. He cheated and swindled his brother out of his... inheritance. He's a liar, a trickster, all that's wrapped up in Jacob's name. And God rustles him up and he says, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and your father, Isaac, the God of Isaac. Excuse me. And then he says, first tying back to the family, then he says this, I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Promise one. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. Promise two. And you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. Promise three. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Promise four. I am with you. Promise five. And will watch over you wherever you go. Six. And I will bring you back to this land. Seven. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Eight. All these promises. Jacob's in the point of his life where he is leaving what he knows to be true. His only reality by his mother's side, in this tent, in this place he calls home, he now has to leave across country to a place he's never been. And in the midst of this uncertainty and unknown, God visits him in a dream and says, it'll be all right. I will never not be with you. I will never leave you nor forsaken you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep in that moment, he said these words, and I find these words to be a blessing in and of themselves. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How many times I want to utter those words. How many times I wish we would utter those words. When Christ opens up our eyes to see something that we've never seen before, to look around and see only the mundane and the ordinary, and then God steps in and opens up our eyes to see the fantastic, the wonderful, the spiritual, the activity of God, where we can say, wherever we are, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Moments like this can happen in church, in our job, in the nursing home, in a hospital, at a funeral home, in the supermarket, in a car. wherever you might be, because of the story and what Jacob saw, what he realized is in that moment, the veil was pulled back just a little bit, and he got to see firsthand God's activity on this earth. Jacob was afraid, but it was wonderful, and he said, "How awesome is this place? Is this none other than the house of God? This is the gate of heaven." And what did he do after he woke up? He fell back asleep. Then he woke up. He took the stone that his head was resting on. He set it up. He poured oil on it. He created a holy site, a holy place, a sanctuary in the middle of nowhere, at the edge of a city. Wherever he was in that moment, this site was holy. And this is what I love about Jacob's story. And all the stories, his grandfather Abraham did similar things. Whenever he met God in a particular place, he would build an altar of unhewn rocks, just pile rocks, bless it with oil, and he said, "This place is holy." But they never stayed. They never stayed in that moment. They never stayed in that place. They took that moment, that promise. The promises that God gave him and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they took those promises and they went to the rest of their journey. Sometimes when we have a wonderful, exciting moment, a God-inspiring moment, we want to stay there. This is a holy place. I never want to leave. But God always directs us to go. To go to the places that we're called to go into the world, to share what we learned in those moments with others, to do what we were tasked to do with others. And so Jacob went, but he named that place, and that place stayed with him, and the memories stayed with him, and he called it Bethel, the house of God. Jacob's story reminds us that that veil between what we experience in the spiritual, the deeper realm, is not that thick. And that God has pulled it back a little bit through Jesus Christ to show us a little bit of what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And I pray that through Jesus Christ we have these moments where we can say, "I wasn't aware that God's here. But surely God is." So that in those moments, in those unlikely places, at those unlikely times, we can rejoice and thank God always. Share with you this final benediction from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace."